The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Stephen Powell, Gary Capewell and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Kempton and Southwell, the two remaining meetings on Tuesday. No Market Race nor Sedgefield, both National Hunt fixtures called off due to the bad weather, but still good stuff to look forward to. We'll be hearing from Ross Briley on that shortly, but right now joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. We're going to go through the Monday jury together. Some interesting runners at the weekend, James, and some interesting races coming up this weekend, so that's pretty much the long and short of it. Just before I get stuck into it, did anything stand out to you in particular from the weekend?
It's interesting because I think generally the real top Cheltenham Festival candidates are starting to be wrapped in Codham Wall now. We're tending to get the ones that haven't probably quite shown enough so far to go to Cheltenham, and they just need to see if they're actually good enough. For me, nothing really stood out winner-wise, but I think we've got a few more credible Cheltenham candidates. Like I say, I think the trend now is your superstars run at the Christmas meetings and they tend to get put away and then be freshened back up for Cheltenham in March. And obviously the ground is going to be so very different. It's very, very heavy, especially at Fosslass on Saturday. And generally at Cheltenham in March, we're going to get good to soft ground at worst. So the problem is transferring heavy ground form onto the quicker ground at Cheltenham is a little bit irrelevant. Although, to be fair, Musselburgh yesterday was a great day's race, and then they had a bit quicker ground there, but a very sharp track is Musselburgh. You got an undulating, stiff finish at Cheltenham at a very, very different places. But saw some good racing. For me, I'd say probably no real Cheltenham winners in action, but that was a good weekend's racing.
Good. Let's get stuck into the Monday jury then. What kind of impact can Scilly Isles winner Gitan de Burley make at the Spring Festivals?
Well, William Allen's has just got so many good chases, and basically I think the fact that she's probably not in their top three or four, she can come over here and still win. She was getting £11 weight allowance, which is obviously a hefty amount. Impressive, did it well. For me, it just kind of showed William Allen's has got such a strong hand, and the English ones are very, very weak. I think Petty Zig is probably our best novice chaser this side of the water, and I think William Mullins is just going to clear up with whatever he decides to run. How she fits in with his chasing combinations, no one really knows what horses are going to run in what races, but you've got to respect her, that is for sure. She's very, very tough. Like I say, she's going to be getting the weight allowance for being a mare to £7, and I won't be ruling her out, but I would suspect William Mullins has got something a bit stronger for each of the races, but whichever one she goes in, I think she'll be placed, that is for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, will be interesting to see which race Willie Mullins targets with her. The fact that she'll get £7 instead of 11 for the mares is something to consider. And the fact that it was on testing ground, you already mentioned the point though,
that is the thing. But, like I say, we could, one year we are going to get a soft ground Cheltenham Festival, but it does need to really be raining literally on the Monday because it does dry out so quick there. But, just Willie Mullins, he's just got such a strong department everywhere, and I say he sends her over and she kind of destroys some useful chases. Champagne West was obviously disappointing because he didn't jump very well. Irish Saint just looked a little bit below par. A lot of the Paul Nicholls horses haven't really been shining in January. They have their flu jabs, and generally his string don't do too well in January, so hard to know what she actually achieved, but I think it's just probably a boost for Willie Mullins himself just to know how good his horses actually are.
Is Gad La Victoire your idea of a big player in the County Hurdle or the Coral Cup?
It's going to be hard because he's obviously going to be carrying a lot of weight. He did manage to win the Great Wood, but I think it was a funny kind of race. He wasn't much pace on for a big field handicap hurdle and given a great ride by Richard Johnson. They do say he's better on quicker ground, and that's two races now he's won on pretty soft ground. Obviously, the Great Wood, they nearly didn't run him in the Great Wood because they thought the ground was going to be too soft, and it was real hard work at Sandown on Saturday. And he beat two very useful novices in Bristol De May and Jolly Anne, who are very well regarded by big stables, and you couldn't rule him out. Interesting to see they're not even going to bother going for the Champion Hurdle, which, I'd say this is kind of a recognised Champion Hurdle. I think Rooster Booster won it a few years ago for Philip Hobbs. But I think that just shows you how far ahead the likes of Fahin, Hurricane Fly, Jezki, and the new one are, I think we're going to have a very small field for the champion hurdle this year, because generally you'd imagine rather than taking your chance off top weight in a handicap hurdle, he would be running the champion as a great wood winner. But realistically, Philip Hobbs is quite right. He's not going to be good enough to win a champion hurdle, and best chance will be in the handicap. Whether they might want to use one of their good claimers to take £7 off him, it might increase his chances. But for me, I think there'll be something that might be a little bit better handicapped. But I think he'll perform as creditably as ever, and he's going to be an exciting chaser next season.
Yeah. You'd expect him to run his race when he's proven at Cheltenham, proven in big handicaps.
I think he could probably sneak third or fourth, yeah. But just giving £10 stone to one that's improving, it may just be too much for him, but he's a cracking horse for the Wheatley and Hobbs team to have.
That's the thing, isn't it? The handicapper knows where he stands with him. There could be something that's been aimed.
He's got him now, I think. Yeah. But, like I said, I think it's probably the right race to go. I think wherever they go, it's going to have a hard race. So I think probably better chance of handicapping coming fifth or sixth in the champion hurdle.
Okay. Is Tide Cottage winner Hidden Cyclone good enough to land a champion chase?
In a normal year, no. This year, possibly. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a race where I've got no strong convictions, because the two standouts, Sprinter Sakura, yes, it wasn't a bad comeback, but he got beat. He broke a bad vessel, which I know Nick Henson and a few people have not made too much of it, but for me, he didn't find much off the bridle, and for me, when the horse does bleed a little bit, that can be why. Is he the same Sprinter Sakura we saw 2 years ago? No. How much is he going to prove? We don't know. Sire de Grugy, he runs obviously this weekend at Newbury. Words have not been positive coming out of the Gary Moore yard. Obviously, he's going to need a run on Saturday. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to improve. But this time last year, he was just bang, 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 winning all these races, and he was at peak form. This year, he's not going to be at that kind of peak form. Dodging Bullets, he seems to be a bit rejuvenated this season. But again, he's not really got the superstar class. So, no, interesting. I wouldn't rule Hidden Cyclone out. I think you've got to go for it. But I wouldn't be backing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What do you make of Sire de Grugy's prospects?
Before. I think he'll come on for the run a lot. Connections will be hoping that he can win without having too hard a race. But realistically, like Sprinter Sakura, Newbury's going to be a trial. It's not the be-all and end-all. So don't expect Jamie Moore to be hard on him. Don't be surprised if he gets beat. I think I just want to see him come back in one piece and run up reasonably to his best. But yeah, interesting. I think other connections will be keen to expose any fitness, so I wouldn't be backing him this weekend.
Okay. Who do you fancy for the Betfair hurdle coming up?
As tricky as ever. One I'm probably going to go for will be a sign of victory.
Yep.
Hopefully he can atone for that Kempton slightly disappointing run behind Fahin in the Christmas hurdle. He disappointed, but he was so impressive when he won at Ascot. Really, really impressed. And obviously Darlan, who came second to him on that occasion, has won twice since, was a nice winner at Musselburgh yesterday.
Yep.
Nick Henson team generally in pretty good form, especially other hurdles. He's the one for me, but these big handicap hurdles, I don't really get them right too often, so I won't be backing in it, or won't be napping in it, that is for sure. I'll be going something far shorter than the Betfair hurdle, but he's the one that kind of stands out for me at the moment, but it's as competitive as it ever is.
Okay, final question, what else has caught your eye from the recent skirmishes?
Yeah, well, I was in the studio on Thursday, I think it was, when we had the impressive success of See the World and that bumper at Wincanton, and obviously kind of went sideways, lost control.
Crazy, wasn't it?
Basically pulled up. Adam Coleman couldn't really get him going, and then the machine kicked in and he just went clear again. And for a horse to do that, yes, it wasn't a great race, and the second's flatbred heavy ground wouldn't have suited at Wincanton, but to lose all that momentum and to gain it again, that was seriously impressive. Hopefully it's just a babyish quirk, and there's not anything too serious, but he could be a really, really nice horse for Emily Vale, and she's got two pretty nice bump horses, and he was the one that just stood out for me just purely because of the visual performance, and I can't wait to see him out again.
No, certainly eye-catching, and if it is just an inexperienced king,
for the first time
quirk,
out, you're giving the benefit of doubt, because it's a brand new experience, and he was out in front at the time where he kind of ducked out. It wasn't like a horse ducking out of a paddock exit, it was just maybe big space, he just got a little bit lost. But like I say, the fact that he could rejuvenate himself and get back up does show he has got a super engine.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Well, thank you very much, James. Enjoy Tuesday's racing, even though we've had no selections from me whatsoever.
No, I know. It'll be excellent. Listeners will be happy.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Willman on the Monday jury. We'll hear from Ross on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
James Millman there giving his thoughts on the weekend action in the Monday Jury. And right now we've had a switch around in the studio, and I'm joined now by Mr. Ross Briley to look ahead to Tuesday's action. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Mark Walton.
How are you, sir?
Tired, you?
I'm all right, yeah. You look tired. You've got that crazy look in your eye when you've not quite had enough sleep.
Yeah, it's right now I am full of beans, but I fully anticipate that around 4 o'clock...
You're just going to crash massively.
Yes. And I'll struggle to raise my head above this level. Although, that's not great for a podcast because no one can see. But I'm sure you can fully imagine.
Exactly, yeah. You painted a beautiful picture.
Well, you know...
Good. No jumping tomorrow, unfortunately. Market raising abandoned due to parts of the course still being frozen, and Sedgefield also off on Tuesday. But we do have two all-weather meetings to go at, Kempton and Southwell. And Ross is going to give us his best bets at each of those meetings, starting in the 3.35 at Southwell, Ross, which is a class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. We have 9 of them in the lineup here. Barb's Princess arrives here in particularly good form. Hat-trick beckoning Ross, or do you take her on?
I probably take her on at the anticipated prices. I think she will be well-backed and well-fancied, and rightly so. I was with her last week after she won quite nicely at Wolverhampton. She beat a 5% specialist last week, albeit she beat a 5% specialist who was drawn in box one and couldn't really get out of the kickback. So main rival was kind of on the back foot from the word go, which would temper my enthusiasm somewhat about a repeat bid, especially carrying a £6 penalty. I mean, she won easily. She sauntered home by 5 lengths, but I can't help but feel that, I said I was with her at the time because everything was in her favour.
Yeah.
But I'm against her today because I just think Viva Verglas is likely to be a little bit overpriced and is likely to have more to offer here. A couple of runs on the 5% this season. First one over 5 furlongs when readily outpaced and at a crucial point, and then just eased a little bit late on when it all got a bit tight. Then came back here on its second run over 6 furlongs and ran an absolute blinder to be beaten ahead by Guichem. It was a great run. Adam Kirby took over at Chelmsford last time out and was again beaten by Guichem, beaten even further, and was probably a little bit disappointing, but drawn out in 12. The first three home, the ones all ahead of her were drawn 6, 2, 5 and 7 and 9, so clearly out a bit wide and just struggled to get involved under Adam Kirby. But the handicap was giving it £1 back for that, which I don't really quite understand why. I thought it was a perfectly reasonable run. And returning here to Suttle, I think a repeat of that Guichem run back on the 27th of December will win this, basically.
Okay.
So, Barb's Princess, I think it's a very top-heavy market in terms of the ones at the top of the handicap are going to dominate. But I think Viva Verglas, you could be getting sort of 4-1, 9-2, if Barb's Princess is sort of 7-4, 2-1. And I think that will represent incredible value.
Okay, good stuff. Viva Verglas, easy for me to say, in the 3.35 at Southwell. Going to Kempton next for their 3.50. And this is a Class 6 handicap over 7 furlongs. And this one is for the 3-year-olds. There are 10 of them in the lineup here, Ross. And not much of them in winning form. None of them, in fact, in winning form. So,
no.
How do you play what looks a pretty tricky handicap?
It is a potentially tricky handicap. Two horses stand out. One is Courier for Lee Carter, although ridden by Charlotte Jenner. I thought that was a nice run at Kempton last time out, behind Le Roquin, and who has bolted up since. Previous run was good as well. In fact, every run at Kempton here has been more than creditable. So you couldn't rule out Courier without a bit of temporarily a bit of enthusiasm. Again, Charlotte Jenner, she's just not riding winners really, so that would worry. She had quite a good year last year, but not so much at the moment. And there's plenty of handicapped debutants: Equilicious, Packed House, who would all be of interest. Total Demolition as well for Ollie Stevens ran okay. I mean, Packed House is the main worry for everyone. Visor on for the first time, very disappointing last time out over at Lingfield, but two runs before that would give it leading claims. But I'm going to go with Happy Pursuit here for Stuart Williams. Daughter of Pastoral Pursuits might not be entirely straightforward. Three runs in turf maidens where it had next to no chance whatsoever of getting involved there. Was heavily backed on handicap debut. Missed the kick, drawn out in 12. rushed up. Pat Cosgrave put the gun to its head, 3 furlongs from home, went wide all the way around. It was a very slowly run event, so she had to make, she had to use all her own energy. She couldn't rely on anything coming back to her. And at one point, she looked like she was going to get involved, but clearly she was exhausted, which is understandable, and she faded. So I think she'll run significantly better here today. Drawn in 3. I think if she gets out of the stalls a little bit better than she did last time out, she'll be of interest.
Okay. Happy Pursuit then in the 350 at Kempton. The 405 at Southwell is the final race we'll look at. This is a maiden handicap over a mile for the 3-year-olds. And starting here with Red Unico Ross, who has run a couple of decent efforts at Southwell recently in January. First of them was when second with the pieces on for the first time, then finished 3rd of 9 with the cheek pieces returned. Changed the headgear this time. They've gone for the visor for the first time. What do you make of Red Unico to start with?
I think it'll win.
Okay.
Yeah, I think both of those runs have been more than creditable and have to be respected. So there's not a great deal in here that's shown too much to get excited about. As I said, it was outpaced on debut over 7 furlongs and then ran on. Last time, I looked to have every chance, really, over a mile behind Chilworth Bells, but I fancied Chilworth Bells would run a good race there and just kept going and going and going. And I didn't think it was that much different from the debut run, really. With the visor on, just to perk his ideas up, I don't think there's a great deal in here, really. You know, once you start to get into the bottom of the handicap, you really are scrabbling around looking for hope where there is none. The big danger is David Brown's Secret Safe, who's making his handicap debut here today as well. Closely related to a horse called Cool Bahamian, who is a rock-solid, almost listed class performer for Eve Johnson Horton, who has won on the all-weather, admittedly at Kempton, never run on this surface. Arcano's only ever had one runner here, and that was a 50-1 shot in a maiden, so there's no real sort of angle in terms of whether it'll suit the surface. But the run-ins in maidens are more than good enough. Well beaten on debut. Set off 150-1 at Haydock behind some very nice types. And set off 150-1 as well at Yarmouth behind some nice types. Just has had literally no chance whatsoever against horses. Been given a mark of 53. As I said, is bred to improve with time and distance. And that's the worry. That's a real worry, Secret Safe. But we'll stick with Red Unico. But if Secret Safe pips in on the line, it wouldn't be that much of a surprise.
Okay. You could probably have a saver on Secret Safe, couldn't you? I don't think he's going to be that well found in the market, given that he's had no chance so far. You know, people might not have picked up on that.
No, I suppose it depends on connections. It depends on, you know, John Fretwell's colours often do attract money, whether it's him or people jumping on a bandwagon, really. And we haven't seen many of his running at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see whether they do start to come out a bit more now the... Now January is behind us, thank God. But yeah, you're right. You probably could back your Red Unico and have a saver on Secret Safe.
Yeah. Okay, interesting couple to consider there then in the 405 at Southwell. Let's just have a quick summary, Ross, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, I'll go with Viva Verglas in the 335 at Suttle. I'm going to stick with Happy Pursuit in the 350 at Kempton and Red Unico in the 405 at Suttle, although Secret Safe could be the danger.
Okay. Thank you. Good stuff, Ross. Enjoy on Tuesday.
Oh, I will.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's action. We also heard from James Millman. And you'll hear all of Tuesday's racing on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. Stephen Powell, Gary Capewell and Rory DeLaghi will be the team in the studio. We've got action at Kempton and Southwell with Market Raisin and Sedgefield already abandoned. But still, plenty to look forward to. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.